Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back.
And welcome back to you as well. I'm Morgan Nickel Big Nut Ticket from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, Esquire.
And I'm Mark Derrick, and I'm still an uncouth bearded man.
Weren't you an uncouth mountain man before?
He's come down from the mountains.
So,
yes.
I mean, that's progression. Esquire, my ass. I don't think you can be married and be Esquire, can you?
No. Esquire means nothing.
Oh.
You can just put it on your name.
I used to sign off my emails as Reverend Morgan Nickel, Esquire.
Yes, I'm a reverend as well.
Yep. You and me both, brother, from the same church, I think, actually, around about the same time, I expect, as well. 1996?
Yeah, 96, 97.
You a gentleman as well, then?
Interesting question. What are the qualifications to be a gentleman?
I believe it's that you have a title and own land.
No.
That doesn't sound right. That would be some kind of lord or something, wouldn't it?
I'm genteel.
I don't know about that. I'm definitely not genteel. I'm not convinced you are either.
Sorry, gentile? I'm a gentile.
That's yes, we're definitely gentile.
So confusing. Mm. So many words, quite similar.
I'm kosher. No, I've had meat and cheese at the same time, as often as possible. Actually, no, that's not true. Not on weekdays. That's probably some kind of religion thing. What are we going to talk about? Have you seen? This is we're going to talk about pictures to begin with, which is a great start to a podcast. Teenage Mutant Ninja Noses. I'll just paste it into the chat room for the few people there who haven't seen it.
I haven't. I'm just gonna mute the microphone while I cough loudly. You won't get to hear it, but it'll be awesome.
Okay. I will just talk about the Justin Bieber full set of Teenage Mutant Ninja Noses. This is beautiful and brilliant. It's basically someone has taken a pen to photos and posters and magazine covers, and sometimes I think it's just digital. Oh shit! I've got to turn down my friggin' thing. Damn it! Look what you've done, Mark.
I'm sorry. I warned you earlier.
Yeah, you did. You're right.
It looks like someone's just drawn worms on the noses.
No, that's Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo. Don't you remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I do, but it looks like a worm to me.
Well, the Justin Bieber one does, because Justin Bieber's nose is rubbish. He's got lady lips and chin, but he's got a rubbish nose. He's got a nose like that llama guy, the werewolf from I've Got Heartburn. What's it called? Werewolf Moon? New Moon? Twilight. Twilight, that's what it's called.
Werewolf Moon.
Apparently, I just turned down the entire podcast. I'm in big trouble. I didn't mean to. Is it back now? Actually, that was probably a trick. I think that the chat room has just convinced me to turn the sound back up so that they can use my alert sound on me again. It's a trap. It's a trick and a trap.
Very, very sneaky. Hey, wow, that is brilliant. I had never really noticed how much noses look like Ninja Turtles.
Or vice versa, depending on which you believe came first. Maybe like tree ants, the Ninja Turtles predate humanity. That's Rocksteady on the Dread Pirate, whatever his name is.
I couldn't remember whether that was Bebop or Rocksteady, so I wasn't going to say.
I may be wrong.
I spent so much of my like, you know, sort of 10, 12, 10, 11, 12 year age drawing Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Did you?
I was really good at it, but probably I was.
So you could probably do this then. You could probably figure out how to do this. I was looking at this and I was thinking, man, I want to start doing this in everything I see. Like at the dentist waiting to get a clean, I want to draw Ninja Turtles on every nose in the magazines. Because I think that would cheer up everyone's day. They'd be like, wait a second, what's that? Oh my God, I know what that is. Yeah, that's George Harrison's nose looking like Donatello.
It looks pretty simple, eh?
It looks very simple. Because the nose basically does the whole job. You just got to get the ribbon, and it's the eyebrows, the brow ridge, I think, that is the tricky thing. So we can talk about something less visual than this on the podcast. Listeners might like that.
We can explain it. It's a Ninja Turtle drawn on a nose. It looks genius.
Yeah. So the mouth is...
In your mind's eye.
Yep.
A nose, right, with a little round bit, and then the bits off the side, whatever, they all have names. I could look it up on Wikipedia, but I'm not going to. The little round bit, and then the bit off the side. So the round bit makes the nose of the Ninja Turtle. The bits off the side are the cheeks of the Ninja Turtle. And then above that, you have the top of his head with the scarf eye thing. And then it's kind of his mouth sort of missing a little bit. It's where the bottom of the nose would be. Oh, no. So I see on some of them, you actually get like a You get a mouth out of the nostrils.
Yep.
It's the bridge there. It's quite clever.
Yep. Very good.
Wow. Is that Dana Carvey?
Oh, with the funny bald head and the great big suit? Yes. Yeah, from Saturday Night Alive.
On the front page. So,
what goes through someone's mind to come up with this?
Awesomeness. Nothing but.
Yes.
Pretty much pure awesomeness.
Best Tumblr I've seen all day. What else is in the show notes? Because the Tumblr is actually no longer responding to me properly, sadly. Mountain Man, eh? Mountain Man. I'm very happy Indeed. To have you on 2 weeks in a row, Mark.
Indeed, it's a record.
I like it when you're on.
Indeed.
What do we normally do on this show? I don't remember because I've had Monster. Oh.
Well, we talk shit for a while.
Yep.
And then we try and do Fast Five, which isn't usually five, nor is it fast.
Yeah.
Then we do a word of the day. Discourse, Urban Dictionary word of the week. Then we talk some more shit.
And then do I do one of them?
We talk about videos our aunties sent us or some other thinly veiled thing.
Yeah. VHS.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Let's open up the tote bag.
And then we go on and on and on for ages in the XL talking about things like poos and other such ridiculousness.
Right, poos. I remember we talked about something else as well, but then that was redacted, so only the live stream listeners know about it, and the people who listen to the normal show, which is the vast majority of them, don't understand this reference. But there you go. If you're in the live chat room during the show, you get the in jokes. You're me. You get to belong to a club, like a little family. We've got each other's back, and we roll deep. That's the Discourse crew, the Discourse army. It's not really an army. The Discourse platoon, the Discourse brigade. What's the smallest unit in the military?
Squad.
The Discourse squad. The Discourse part of a squad. Monster, right? I should ban myself from Monster.
Yeah. Discourse, like special ops specialist to just be one person.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn you guys up a little bit as well.
Yes. So we have a threat.
Oh, yeah. What's the threat?
Someone from the chat room wants to come around and like make noises on my wall so he can be heard on the show.
Why doesn't he just join us on Skype?
This is true.
I'm pretty content to have a fairly open show this time because we don't really have a lot of plans. Got a few stories, but
Because I didn't get to see it, and I'd like a summary.
Okay. Well, I suppose I would summarize it by saying that it was a debate/panel discussion between Stephen Joyce and various other political party ICT representatives, including now who was the guy from ACT? Peter Mick something. Peter EMCC on Twitter. Interesting, I thought. They were all consistent. They all seemed to stick to their party lines. There was nothing illuminating out of the whole thing. But something that we can learn is that we're probably not going to use R2 for our streaming because it kept going down. Like heaps, like all the time. And it wasn't even very high bitrate. But it also, on the same point, even though it was only like a 380 kilobit stream, the quality was fine. So, I mean, yeah. Worst case scenario, if we don't manage to sort out, because of the where the studio is in Parnell, a little bit far away from the exchange, I'm not sure if we're going to have fast enough internets upstream to do the HD broadcast. But let's see. We'll try and do it.
No, we have to because it's a selling point, you see.
Yeah. Who cares? The important thing is that we get free goodies to give away to people on the
show. So, in other news.
Yes?
I believe on, let's not pretend we record this show on a Tuesday, usually.
Yep.
You heard it on a Thursday. So last week on Tuesday, in the XL, you wouldn't have heard it if you listened to just the normal show. We had special guest Leighton, Polar Bear Farm.
Lunkin' Appleseed,
right? On the show, he talked about some stuff, mentioned some upcoming iPhone, iOS 5 and iPhone 4S stuff. And then the day after, of course, that came out. So then by the time it came out on Thursday, he was talking about stuff in the future that was in the past. Hi, Leighton. Anyway, so, you know, the only thing I've heard two things about the iPhone 4S since it came out. One is Siri. I hear that constantly.
Hello, Siri.
Far more than
someone could explain to me why Siri doesn't send tweets. I don't understand that. And the other one was the camera, which apparently is quite good. Although I saw a test today which says the Samsung Galaxy S2's camera is better.
I also saw something today which I thought was quite amusing. A drop test, a Samsung Galaxy S2 and an iPhone 4S. Dropped each one of them three times, twice from waist high and once from shoulder high. The Galaxy S2 basically
survived quite cleanly.
Yeah, it had like some scratches in the corner, and that was pretty much it. And the other, the iPhone 4S was smashed front and back and side, and it was actually quite ridiculous. Does the S2 have Gorilla Glass or something? Because it seemed remarkably tough.
I would be surprised if it didn't.
I'm not sure, actually.
That's too, doesn't it?
Sorry, say it again.
I thought the iPhone 4S had Gorilla Glass.
Well, whatever it has, it's not sufficient for their test. But, you know, maybe it wasn't even a legit test because there was advertising material on the video. I think it's a sneaky little viral. Was for like an extended warranty guys who might have been saying, look how easy it is to break your iPhone. Let's blah, blah, blah. Buy an extended warranty from us. Never mind, the AppleCare probably covers this if you do it soon enough.
There was another one that I saw 2 days ago where the guy walked into the store, bought his 4S and walked straight outside and went smash on the ground.
Yeah, people do that every time. They're dicks.
And all the comments were like, you dick, you've just wasted your money. But no one kind of noticed that the guy posting was from iPhoneRepair.com.
Right.
And then posted his teardown review of the iPhone. So,
you like to make that noise? That sounds really great on the podcast. It's like when people clap too much. They go, and it just draws your attention to the fact that they don't have anything to say. People in the chat room, your names quite often are listener 270 or listener 4619 or listener 5049 or something similar. If you type /Nick space and then a name that you'd actually rather be known by, then you'll appear as a person and are much more likely to engage with you. But probably I should actually not even look at the chat room on account of they mess with me. They bait me. They get me to rant about things that I don't even really care about. Bastards. So I'm going to ignore them.
Yeah, pretty hard to get you to rant about anything.
Oh, it's very hard.
You're not a ranty
sort. I'm so level-headed and reasonable. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, iPhone 4S, saw a lot of that on Twitter. Also saw a lot of people with problems upgrading to iOS 5. Don't know where that resolved. I guess most of them probably fixed it.
There was a lot of things with the downloads being overloaded.
Yeah. Right.
And then iPhones just crashing, not being able to restore properly.
Yeah, that was it. Something about not able to restore. Anyway, I haven't upgraded my iPad yet because whatever.
So is the restore bit, is that the bit that would have put all my apps back on the iPad?
I believe so, yes.
Right, so that's why I think their upgrade process is fucked, because it didn't actually work properly, but it didn't tell me it hadn't worked properly. Is that correct?
Quite possibly. I know a lot of people who don't sync to their iTunes to actually do backups.
But it tells you to sync before you upgrade. So I synced and backup. And then I downloaded the friggin' thing. It was like 700 megs or something, which is smaller than some goddamn iPad games. I cannot believe how big some iPad games are. I synced and I backed up, and then I downloaded the thing and I installed it, and all went perfectly well. And then none of my apps were there. And I was like, that doesn't seem the way that Apple have been presented to me. This doesn't seem like a smooth and clean upgrade that, you know, just added a bunch of cool new features and didn't fuck with me at all, because it did fuck with me.
It's not really the Apple experience, is it?
No, maybe it is the Apple experience, but it's not the Apple experience as presented to us by the Apple fans, you know, the one-eyed Apple fans. But it's nice to have the status slide down thing. What do they call that? Notifications area.
Notifications.
The Android notifications.
Yeah, Android notifications. They might as well just call it Android notifications.
No, they invented... Oh, actually, do you know what I did see, though? Oh, I'll try and find a link to it for the show notes. But so, of course, there's Siri for iOS 5. Some people created an app for... which hasn't been released yet, but will be released soon. An app for Android to do some similar...
Called Iris?
Siri. Yep, called Iris. Not as clever as Siri, because it doesn't have some of the really... intense heuristic stuff, but does a similar sort of
thing. You say heuristic, but do you mean natural language?
Natural language, isn't that heuristic? Anyway, whatever. It doesn't have really some of the really clever natural language stuff. But
if you say natural language, all of the listeners will probably know what that means. And if you say heuristic,
doesn't have some of the natural language support.
Yeah.
But does a kind of similar
corrections.
Function. Apparently took them 8 hours of coding to get it functional, which is pretty impressive. A little code-a-thon. So that's pretty cool. I don't know enough about how Siri works. I understand it connects to some sort of central server. Are we sure that there's not just a huge room full of Indians with a slightly good sense of humour typing responses?
Don't be ridiculous. They're Bangladeshi. Apple can't afford Indians anymore.
Right. No, because they're all too busy phoning me about problems with my Microsoft computer.
Yeah. Oh, Microsoft, finally, speaking of that scam, do you want to lay out what that scam is?
Yeah, okay. You get a phone call.
This is only for people who have landlines, probably.
Probably. Yeah, I haven't had it on a cell phone. Get a phone call from someone at the internet help desk or the Microsoft help desk or something like that.
15 minutes.
That there's been a virus detected on your computer and that they need you to run some tests. And yeah. So you, being the gullible idiot that you are, go to your computer and type in the things they tell you to type. And the first one is, I think, what do they get you to type?
They get you to run some kind of log thing that actually pretty much always shows errors. And that's just to demonstrate.
It doesn't even show errors. All it does is show a folder. So you type something. Oh, what is it? Anyway, you type the name of a folder and it pops up a folder. And they say, oh, all of those things in there. Oh, inf. You type inf and start run inf. And it pops up the inf folder from Windows inf. And they say, all of those things that say inf, that inf stands for infected. So all of those files are infected with the virus. So there's lots of stuff in there. And then you need to go and apparently install some remote access login software. That then allows them to fix your computer. And I think from there on, you basically, A, you've given them remote access to your computer, and B, they charge you money to fix your computer of the imaginary things that weren't in there.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft, now this scam had been running for at least 18 months. Microsoft, about a month or 6 weeks ago, removed their Microsoft Most Valuable Partner status.
I don't understand that, though, because why the fuck? I heard that, but I don't understand, there's no part of the scam that relies upon the people calling you having any sort of certification from anyone.
No.
It's entirely criminal and false as it is, so yeah. Who gives a shit whether anyone's certified?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but I think it's incredible that Microsoft hadn't acted faster to just do what little they could.
Yeah, well, I guess they must have addressed it in some ways. We have had, in this household, and I haven't answered one yet, and I'm really disappointed because I would quite like to, string them along. Not that I'm sure many people haven't done that. But we've had probably at least six or seven of the calls.
Yeah.
Which is, just nuts.
Yeah.
But, social engineering on a large scale is what it is.
I look forward to having one day, but I don't see it happening.
So I know some people who have their asterisk, boxes at home, their little geeky asterisk VoIP servers.
Yeah.
And there's a plugin that you can get for that called, I think it's the Nasty Crapper or something, that you assign a phone number to and it will automatically redirect to it.
Yeah.
And it's got one of those voice bots that just talks back to them.
Yeah.
And you got the voices that just mumbling saying, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't quite hear you there. What were you saying? And just keeps going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the sound of that. All right. Do you guys want to get on to some
Fast Five?
Fast Fives.
Fast Five.
What do you reckon?
Sure.
Who's ready? I will go
five.
I've probably got seven. Did you take any off my list? Because I
stole one of yours.
Okay, good. So I've only got six. But one of them I'm not going to do because it's friggin' physics.
So five. Good stuff.
So Amit Gupta, I don't know him. He was the founder of Photo Jojo, which is a really cool little photo store. And I think he's done some other sort of entrepreneurial stuff. He has leukemia and he needs bone marrow transplant as part of his treatment. I guess they're going to irradiate him and that kills the cancer in his bone marrow, but then they need to replace the bone marrow. Is that how it works or something like that? I'm a doctor, so I should know about this stuff.
Yeah, but let's be fair, you're only a neurosurgeon.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a rocket surgeon. He's, as you can tell from his name, he's... I'm not going to say he's Asian, some sort of Asian, Central Asian, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi. Right. You see, he's from somewhere. Amit Gupta. I mean, where's a name like that going to be from?
So he's not English.
He's not English. And not enough people are registered in the bone marrow registry programs who, will have a matching type for him. So that's pretty tough. So he's tied in pretty well with all the what do we call them? The Twitterati, we might say, the social networking people. So there was a massive push to get people to register. Mainly it was, white Westerners, So not all probably useful, but the push is important. The marketing is the important thing. And I'm not. I mean, my blood, my bone marrow wouldn't be a good tissue match for him. But I thought, well, hey, I might as well go and do this myself. So I went to the New Zealand Bone Marrow Donor Registry, which is at bonemarrow.org.nz.
Genius.
Thinking this will be great, because I've heard actually that they don't necessarily jam a needle into your um, into your bones and suck out the marrow, there's actually a treatment, an extraction, a harvesting process they can do, which is basically like they take blood out of you, they remove bone marrow cells, something like that, and then they put the blood back, pretty much.
So they can grow your marrow?
Well, no, there's just a certain amount of the same cells are present in your bloodstream.
Right.
So they can harvest it that way. I think it's slower. I think it's not the always the best way to do it, but it's a way to do it. So, you know, being registered isn't necessarily guaranteeing yourself a horribly painful procedure. But that painful, even if you were to have that horribly painful procedure, you know, you'd probably be doing it to save someone's life for the sake of, you know, being uncomfortable for a couple of hours. Seems all right. So I go and register, and they don't want me. They don't want my blood. In fact, they don't want any of our blood or bone marrow. Don't want Pākehā at all. They don't want anyone of Western descent. So that's that. I thought, oh, this would be great.
Not that they don't want us, but they have enough.
Well,
or just well, the need, but like
they. I think that the bone marrow registry network is international.
Right.
And so they can use bone marrow donors or do use bone marrow donors from overseas.
I see.
But what is not available so regularly overseas is Māori and Pacific stuff.
Okay.
Blood, bone marrow. So they are keen to have registrations from those groups. So, dear listener, if you are Indian, if you are Asian of any kind, if you're a Pacific Islander, particularly if you're Māori.
I can help with this.
Yep.
If you're a brown fella. That's acceptable.
Brown, yellow, or red.
Okay. Red.
Purple, black, or blue.
I want communists as well.
Even if you're some kind of peachy colour, but just not European peachy.
So olive.
Then they probably want you. Want you. So you should get in touch because for the sake of a very minor inconvenience, you could quite easily save a life. And that would make you pretty heroic, I think. Good for you, I would say. Good for you. Well done. I would try and buy you lunch. Maybe a pie. I mean, I wouldn't take you anywhere flash if you saved a life.
No.
It's not like you are, you know, leapt in front of a speeding bus to save a child in a perambulator.
You can get like a bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's for like $3. So that's, you know, that's.
Are they $3 now? They were like $1.95 before.
Well, look, bacon is expensive.
And cheese is expensive. And burger is expensive.
Yeah.
Okay, so Leighton in the chat room just posted an elephant seal photo bomb.
It's pretty awesome.
It's
an awesome photo.
It is pretty amazing. That makes the penguin, I'll put this in the show notes, dear listener, that makes the penguin standing in front of him look really, really very little.
I remember you used to be the king of the photobomb, Morgan.
I've done a few.
Yes.
Do my best. I did a really good one at Webstock earlier this year.
The problem with photobombing, if done properly, is that you don't get to revel in the result. You don't get to see the result.
Well, now that's why the Webstock one was so funny, because I think they had what's the SD cards with the Wi-Fi built in?
iFi.
They had iFi built in. So it immediately uploaded to Flickr, and I think it might have even been tagged. And so then someone came up to me with their phone and said, is this you in the back of this photo? And it was only like 10 minutes after I'd done it.
Oh, technology.
It was so good. Oh, my God, it was good. The best photo bomb of all time, though, I did was in Japan on a little boat. We were being rowed down a river by a rugged old man and some ninjas. Literally, I think they probably were ninjas because they did every now and then they did little tricks with their punts, you know. In a former occupation, they probably wouldn't have called them punts. They probably would have called them quarterstaffs or something. And they were amazing with them, spinning them around, doing amazing tricks. God, it was good fun. But I photobombed a bunch of I think they're probably Singaporean or maybe Malaysian. I photobombed a bunch of Malaysian girls. God, it was funny. It was so funny. Well, I was amused by it. They noticed when they then immediately chimped and looked at their camera and they were like, what? And then they looked back at me and started laughing. So go to bonemarrow.org.nz if you are Pacifican or Māori or Asian. Is there a better word than Asian? Because, I mean, does that include India?
Well, it does, not typically when we talk about it, but it does.
Officially it does, I believe.
English people
England
say
and Europe,
Asia.
They mean Asian.
Yeah.
Because, in England and Europe, when they, well, in England anyway... Often they'll talk about, when they talk about Asians, they specifically mean Indians, Pakistanis.
Yeah.
Or Pakis, as you can't say, apparently. And when they talk about people of what we would call Asian descent, they often say Oriental, which I don't think we do anymore.
So NZ Raj in the chat room, you are probably exactly who the New Zealand Bone Marrow Donor Registry wants. And who knows, you might save Amit Gupta's life. Although I think there's like only a, there's like a 1 in 20 chance that he'd, that Amit Gupta would be tissue matched to another, well, I don't even, I should have probably looked up what country he's from, what region he's from, but, you know, there you go. Raj, it's for you, mate. Go to Bone Marrow Organ Z. That's it. Wow, I was supposed to have 1 minute for that, wasn't I?
Yeah.
So, four.
So not fast, like
I'll be much faster with this one.
Four.
Scientists suggest that space-time has no time dimension. The concept of time as a way to measure the duration of events is not only deeply intuitive, it also plays an important role in our mathematical descriptions of physical systems. For instance, we define an object's speed as its displacement per a given time. But some researchers theorize that this Newtonian idea of time as an absolute quantity that flows on its own, along with the idea that time is the fourth dimension of space-time, are incorrect. They propose to replace the concept of time with a view that corresponds more accurately to the physical world, time as a measure of the numerical order of change. So do you think discourse is the best venue to talk about papers published in esteemed academic journals like Physics Essays? Or
yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is the right place for that, isn't it?
I mean, once someone listened to XL,
yeah,
they had to redefine time.
Yeah. Yeah, because they needed some way to express a greater amount of time than they actually had previously theorized was present in the entire known universe with our previous episode. That was actually, though, in the way that we now count, they retconned our understanding of time after that that event occurred. So people are no longer trapped in that time-space loop. It's a bit Star Trek-y. I think they retconned that back in as well. That was only now in the new time, 1 hour and 40 minutes. In the old time, that was epochs. So I'm very sorry for anyone who was trapped in that little time bubble.
And you're listening to Discourse, the new science journal podcast.
And it's what we're pros at.
Three.
Can the hottest peppers in the world kill you?
I reckon yes.
I reckon they can kill your ass. Or they can make you wish your ass was dead, maybe.
Oh, right, I see. Yep.
Yeah. So in Scotland, there was a competitive curry-eating competition, hot curry-eating competition, in Edinburgh. Now, where was it? It was at Kismot or something. I need to look at. Yeah, it's the Kismot Indian Restaurant. And they had 20 people in this curry-eating competition. I've actually been in a hot curry-eating challenge with Mark, and we were both successful. Not apparently as hot as this. Because 10, fully half of the people who took part in the challenge, dropped out after witnessing the first couple vomiting, collapsing, sweating and panting. Actually, I mean vomiting from eating a curry. That's got to be pretty hot.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm almost certain you can. And
well, you can.
I say we go and try this, Morgan.
And there's research that says that you can be killed by eating really, really hot chilies. It's unfortunately, it's quite old. It's from 1980. And they say that for a person who was 150 pounds, which is none of us, but eating something like the bok choy, which is, depending on where it's grown and how, one of the hottest chilies, you'd have to eat 3 pounds of it. That's quite a lot.
Really? Because I would find it would surely it wouldn't be hard to
Eat 3 pounds of the hottest chilies
not
in the
that,
world.
To have a reaction to the capsaicin or whatever that would. Yeah.
Of course, it wouldn't be hard to have a reaction. I've had very hot curries,
could, you know, cause a physical reaction that would kill you. Like it could if you
like cause your neck, your throat to swell up,
close your esophagus or something. If you accidentally got any, you know, if you coughed a little bit, if you breathe a little bit in or something.
I guess that's probably right, but you'd probably have to be quite sensitive to it to begin with.
There's a show on, I don't know, some TV channel called 1001 Ways to Die or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they mention that a guy, I don't know how true this is, a guy apparently, when pulled over by police, had a can of an illegal can of mace in his car, and so he decided the best thing to do would be to shove it up his ass.
Ouch.
Yep, and then that was fine until he got taken out of the car and pushed up against it to be searched when it went off or something like that, and then he died.
Like the internal movement caused the thing to be depressed, the trigger to be depressed?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Then he died.
Crikey. Well, who knows if that's true or not? It sounds like a pretty horrible.
Don't put mace in your bum. Ugh. Probably not hot curry either.
Ugh.
Not directly in there.
Rich MS in the chat room suggests that that sounds like something that the Mythbusters should do. I would like to see Carrie try that.
Okay.
Just to see what would happen. Wait, is Carrie the one that I find annoying that I don't want to be on the show anymore?
Well, she's the girl.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, then.
Yeah, she's annoying. Yes. She's annoying because they had a really good girl on before, that welder, that who was a really amazing... She was a really amazing fabricator. She was on like the first season, right?
And then she also came back when Carrie was away for maternity things.
The person who was mainly on while Carrie was away was that little blonde, that little peppy little blonde.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I think Carrie was brought on because they thought she was maybe a little bit hotter. But perhaps the welder just didn't want to be on TV, in which case I regret everything I've said and I apologize unreservedly.
Two.
I think this is something about methanol. Yes, woman's methanol death preventable, says the coroner. Well, no shit. I mean, anyone who drinks enough methanol to die, probably that didn't need to happen. Coroner Peter Ryan, you know, simplify things. How much did it cost to come to that conclusion? Now, I understand that the treatment for methanol, this is going to sound funny, and you've got to get in early enough, is ethanol. So, like, I think that, like, vodka, oh, God, I should not talk shit about this because it might cause someone to die in the future. But I think, based on my experience at the esteemed medical school house, or maybe it was the esteemed medical school ER, maybe it was even the esteemed medical school MASH, I don't remember which, says that a bit of vodka will... It binds with the methanol and it prevents it from killing your ass. Yeah, you're right. Actually, it might have been Grey's Anatomy State Medical College. So this woman, Danica Joy Scott, that was the end of my minute, I know. Danica Joy Sconnet Altman went blind and suffered severe brain damage after drinking methanol that she believed was homebrewed vodka. She was only 22 years old. Apparently methanol is what you drink instead of vodka in Tokoroa. She died in 2009, and she suffered for 4 days after drinking this stuff. She was given it by a friend who told them that it was vodka. This was 3 liters of methanol they were given. 3 fucking liters. Now, ow. I've only ever seen the stuff with the pink dye in it. Right?
Right.
So it's pretty hard to mistake it for anything else.
Once you strain it through some white bread, that'll be fine.
That will make no difference whatsoever.
What?
It will make no difference.
Oh, no.
Yeah. NZ Raj has suggested that I take 2 vodka gimlets and call him in the morning. Oh, he's being Dr. Vodka. That's
Dr.
good.
Dr. Raj.
I like that. Vodka gimlet is basically, it's unpopular now. It's vodka and lime, and it was my favorite drink when I was about 16 because you could buy the glass hip flask for about $7 and I could get away with it even though I was 16 in Queen Street from a bottle shop just opposite the Civic. Thank you, little bottle shop, with your low standards. I got pissed in the Finance Plaza thanks to you on vodka gimlets. That was good fun. I liked that. So this person, I don't know if this person, this friend of friend, quote, of the dead, the late Miss Altman, I don't know if they knew that it was methanol, but I mean, how do you claim something's vodka when it's methanol? Someone along the line lied and it caused this woman's death. Doesn't seem very nice. She just wanted to get pissed and have some fun. You know, get pissed and have a root, maybe. Get pissed and go horse riding. I don't know what she wanted to do. She wanted to have a good time, but instead she went blind and got brain damage and died 4 days later. That doesn't seem like fun. I think we should make sure that that legit vodka is readily available to all New Zealanders. I think probably access to vodka should be a human right. Probably. Why not? For everyone over about the age of 18, maybe 14, you know, if you want to be really tolerant and accepting and open. So I had 1 minute for this, and none of you are saving me from my ongoing...
One.
So the Swedish court has finalised the jail sentence for Pirate Bay co-founder, Gottfried Svartholm. But other people from the old, the lovely old Pirate Bay. Now, what's his name? I met him in February. Peter Sond says that he thinks he might be dead.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't in court. No one's been able to find him for like a year. He was terribly unwell. He was sick. He was in hospital in like the Philippines or somewhere. No one's seen him since. His lawyer says that they don't know where he is. Peter Sond, who presumably is one of his friends, says he thinks he might be dead. And the court, even so, decided to convict him in absentia, i.e. without really being able to defend himself properly.
Hadn't he already been convicted?
Well, yes, but this was the Court of Appeal.
Well, right, I see.
Right.
And if he had been there, you know, he probably wouldn't have gotten the finalised thing. It probably would have just been, you know, the continuing story, which is what it is with the other three. They're a continuing story. They haven't been finalised because they can defend themselves appropriately. So he got his million dollar whatever fine, which he can't pay because he's a computer hippie. These people are weird free speech anarchists. These are not wealthy internet entrepreneurs. Well, Peter Sond might become one if his other little things, you know, keep working out. His what's the one where you basically you tip money to all the people that you like on the internet and it divides it up, divvies it up equally? I can't remember what it's called.
No idea.
Did you see the Pirate Bay recently got their domain name banned?
Where?
Yeah, and they registered another one.
And they registered a different one because, yeah, the block was just to say blockthepiratebay.com.
Yeah. So not block www.thepiratebay.com?
Was it, well, whatever it was. Was it in Belgium?
Flatter is what I'm thinking
yes,
of.
In Belgium, yes. So they are registered the Pirate Bay.
Pirate Biden? Right.
Which is just the literal translation of the Pirate Bay.
Good. I hate anyone banning websites. I think it's actually quite horrible. I don't think it's appropriate at all.
No.
If it was obscene, then I would expect it to be taken down. But of course, it's not obscene. It's not obscene. Oh, it's probably got content that you might consider obscene. I bet some of those torrents have got you know, horrible porn in them. Maybe obscene, or maybe just illegal under New Zealand law. I bet there's
almost certainly
there's poop and wee and blood porn there, and that's all illegal in New Zealand. In New Zealand, it's not legal to watch some woman weeing on some man. It's not legal here.
Is it?
No, it's not legal.
Does that mean 2 girls, 1 cup is illegal?
Yeah. 2 girls, 1 cup is obscene in New Zealand. It's illegal. According to the Films, Videos and Publications Classification Act, anything with urine, feces and blood is deemed objectionable under our law, so we're not allowed to watch it. Even though for most of us it was just kind of a weird sort of a shocking thing. And, well, I mean, of course, we don't know that those women were free to do what they did. They could have been human trafficked slaves, sex slaves. We don't know that that's not true.
We don't know that it's not true.
We don't know that's not true. And I think probably something like that. Now, we've got a question in the chat room. So is it illegal to pee on someone in New Zealand? The answer is no, it's not, if it's consenting. It's not illegal to urinate on someone or to be urinated on. I don't know why you'd want to. I suppose some people have that fetish. It's not illegal to do that or to do anything with poo or blood.
But provide it to people.
You can. You just can't watch. You can't look at pornography of it.
Well, if you're in the public and you're dropping your pants to pee on someone, then you're exposing your nether regions.
That's a different question. That's a different question.
Which is illegal.
And I think that in many places that's appropriate. I think on the beach, seeing a penis or some boobs, probably get over it. I think there's probably not a problem with sunbathing naked. But if you just walk up to someone, even if they consent on Queen Street, and whack out your wang and wee on them, then I think it's appropriate that people would say that was probably not the right way to behave in public.
Yes.
It's a bit of a side issue, Mark. It's a bit of a side
issue. It's also illegal just to urinate in public anyway.
Yeah, but they'll never stop me.
Yeah.
Never. Because when a Morgan's got to go, a Morgan's got to go. And oh boy, does he ever. One more.
One.
High Court to review comedian sex case. And unlike previous times we've discussed this particular comedian's sex case, I'm not going to talk about him by name or identify anything about him whatsoever that might lead to trouble with the ongoing name suppression, which we have done before, but cut it out and bleeped it. I just want to point out that this sex charge is not funny. And he was discharged without conviction. One of the reasons was that the judge said that he was funny and made people laugh, and that was important. Judge Philippa Cunningham, I think, shouldn't be a judge anymore because she has terrible judgment.
What was the charge? What was the actual charge that he was discharged upon, do you know?
I think he was performing, alleged to have been performing.
No, I know what he was alleged to be doing, but do you know what the actual charge was?
On a four-year-old girl.
Yeah, no, I get all that. I just want to know what the actual...
I don't... Actually, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what the wording of the charge was. Unlawful sexual connection with a minor under 10 or something?
Probably, right.
Or might be under 6. I don't know what the different categories are. So the judge said, he's a talented New Zealander. He makes people laugh. Laughter is an incredible medicine, and we all need lots of it. Discharged without conviction. Judge Cunningham, you should be ashamed of yourself. It might be illegal for me to say that.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I'm pretty sure you can express opinions.
Judge Cunningham, seriously. I mean, seriously. There's a difference between finding someone not guilty because they didn't do something, or you don't believe you've been convinced that they did it.
He pleaded guilty.
But being
pleaded guilty.
Well, I haven't finished actually quite making my point.
Okay,
but saying someone can be discharged without conviction because they're funny? That is outrageous.
You've just got a free reign to do whatever you want there, Morgan.
Because I'm funny. Yeah. Most people don't agree.
No.
Some people say I'm funny. So who's got something? Dylan's got 3. Mark's got 1. Who wants to go? Be fast?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see.
Three.
That can be fast.
Three.
Go, Dylan.
I'm not going to read it much, but there is an op-ed on the internet about... Occupy.
Occupy? What's Occupy? We haven't spoken about that at all on Discourse, which I'm a bit embarrassed about.
We haven't, actually. We'll talk about it a bit in the Excel or something. But the Occupy Wall Street movement, which has become just Occupy as it's extended well beyond Wall Street. I mean, it's difficult because it's difficult in the mainstream media because they don't know how to describe it in suitable soundbitey kind of ways. But there's a really good... I've stumbled upon... a very good op-ed about it, an opinion piece, which we will link to in the show notes. You will never believe where it's from. I'll just tell you. It's from foxnews.com.
Yeah, and it's good.
It's very good.
Does it seem fair and balanced?
It is more than fair and balanced. It is actually incredibly incredibly well written and a very good explanation of the issue.
Got it.
Now, of course, if you read the article and you think, oh, this is not this is shaking my belief that Fox News is full of complete evil.
Yeah.
If that's a problem for you, then simply look at the comments. Although actually, I can't find them now; they don't seem to be here.
So this was written by Sally Cohn.
Can you see the comments? Did comments show up for you at all?
Good question. I am not seeing comments. I'm seeing 2,400 tweets.
Yeah, no, that's weird. So there were comments there. And the comments were great because...
And 330 really, Google plus ones.
Yep, and 44,000 Facebook recommendations.
Far out.
The comments were great because they really, if you were worried that it was too too rational, you could look at the comments where you'd see people...
Was it about like Kiwi Blog, only even worse?
Oh my God, yeah. Yes, it was.
I can't believe how insane... a lot of people in the world are. How is it that we all breathe the same air and have, you know, roughly the same kind of brain chemistry, and yet they see the world, I mean, I'm not going to say that they are wrong and we are right, but they just seem, I mean, they seem divorced from reality. Maybe it's us that are divorced from reality, but all of the evidence points to the contrary.
Well, yeah, it seems that way. So there you go. That's my number 3.
Cool. That's good. Well, yeah, we'll talk about Occupy in the after bit. I've read a little bit about it. I wouldn't say I knew a great deal about it. I think that the one key thing is that Occupy, this is like the 99% thing.
Yeah.
Is not any particular group, it seems. It's not all, you know, lefties in US political terms. It's not all Democrats. It's like anarchists, and it's libertarians, and it's just people who are teachers.
Some
and
members
now
of the Tea Party organization have got involved, which is not widespread, you know, hasn't been widespreadly accepted by the Tea Party yet.
Yeah,
but some Tea Party supporters have seen some commonality.
Yeah.
And I've got involved, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. All right, next.
Two.
Yeah, I stole this one from you. It's crazy parents.
Parents, they can be crazy. Parents.
These are really crazy parents.
They can be crazy parents. Now, why are they so crazy parents?
45 minutes.
You're crazy.
It's the senility.
Yeah. So when you're a mother, right, and you've got a child, and
you're a mother.
To go to a good school.
Yeah.
And you think, well, goodness, there's two good schools that I want my child to go to, and I live in Queenstown, and they're both in Dunedin, and there's another girl from Queenstown who also wants to go to these good schools. The best thing I can do to increase my daughter's chances of going to these schools is to somehow cast aspersions upon her opponents. So she rang up these schools and claimed to be essentially a nurse and said that she needed to talk to the student about her sexual promiscuity and had sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah.
And then said, oops, oh, sorry, she's a prospective student, not an actual student yet. So basically along those lines anyway, weird phone prank. She faced a judge, has been sent off for a pre-sentencing psychiatric report about her because she seems a bit nuts. A little bit. The interesting thing, the thing that struck me when I read it in the Herald was, so did the girl get into the school?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the parent shouldn't have any bearing on that. I think that the school... Now, based on the academic committees I've been on, not in secondary school, in tertiary, which, you know, maybe they're a bit drier, I mean, the considerations seem to be really straight. Really straight. There's consensus, there's, you know, everyone is probed to see if they have a strong position. Exactly. And people, you know, excuse themselves if they are too close to, you know, a given decision. And they look only at things like academic history. As you know, wherever that's possible, to use that as some means of, you know, separating and sorting the... the prospective students, and I suspect the same is probably true in high schools, but maybe with smaller committees. I don't know. From NZ Raj in the chat room, WTF? I'm assuming that was a question. There's no actual punctuation on it, Raj. Raj, there's no punctuation on it. What the F is blimmin' right? This woman who we'll call Anne-Marie Thompson.
Good.
Even though that's not her name, that's the name that she gave the school. She didn't just say, as Dylan says, that her daughter's enemy. That's the wrong word.
See, that's competitor. That's the other strange thing about it is she seemed to assume that if there were two girls from Queenstown trying to apply to these colleges, only one of them would be able to be accepted.
Not just that she had an STD, and why would an STD be a problem for getting into a school? I don't see how that would be a consideration, but also that she was a lesbian, and I don't understand why that would be an issue either. The whole thing is bizarre. Oh, we are going to run really low on time. We've got 12 minutes.
I heard the 45-minute thing.
Have you got one more?
One more. It's really quick. Video went around Twitter and Facebook and stuff today of quantum levitation.
Yeah.
Which is basically supercooled superconductors, because they have to be supercooled to be superconductors.
I'm super cool.
Locked into a magnetic field. So essentially...
This looks so cool.
Like they're bolted into something, but with no actual physical connection.
Right.
It's amazing. And apparently it's nothing new. It's a well-known phenomenon. And in fact, once you've seen this first video that we'll put in the show notes, there is a heap of related videos of the same thing. Being demonstrated in all sorts of different ways.
Really locked in there, isn't it?
It's amazing. And then later on in the video, he shoots it around a track and stuff. It's just nuts.
Quite impressive.
You can imagine if there's some way to make it, to get it into a larger scale kind of thing, it would be incredible.
For maglev things or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing.
That is... so cool. That is so good. And that's not meant to be a pun. I'm not messing around here. Yeah.
Well, so to make it more practical, we'd need we'd need room temperature superconductors, which so far don't exist. But believe me, there are many, many people trying to figure them out.
Yeah, but I mean, so maybe you figure out how well you can do it with not a superconductor, but just a really good room temperature conductor. Yeah. Actually, it probably does have to be a superconductor.
I think it has to be a superconductor.
Mm.
But what do I know about physics?
Yep. It's in the show notes. It's a YouTube. It's 2 minutes long, and it's very straight to the point. There's no messing around with diagrams. It's very cool.
If you can't be bothered with the show notes, just look on YouTube for quantum levitation.
Quantum levitation. Wow, I'm going around the track. That is so cool. That's brilliant. So I guess as it warms up, it stops being a superconductor. Yeah. And the effect will... So presumably while we're watching, the effect is diminishing, but kind of imperceptibly. That is so... I love it.
It's your new Mark, risk asset for you.
Mark, we need to launch into yours really quickly because we've got a whole bunch of things we've got to do. How many Indeed. Are you doing?
I've got two. Just one that I came across last week or earlier in the week. Really awesome photorealistic drawings from an 18-year-old girl that could almost look fake, but I'm not sure. You watch the videos and you see her sketching them out and just really awesome pictures.
These look like they've been done over the top of photos though, right?
They look like that, but she's got videos of her actually drawing them.
As Dylan can attest, it's not possible to fake a video.
No, it's
not. Some of them do look like they could be faked, but it's unclear.
Yeah.
But it's quite impressive.
I shouldn't say that I even believe it's faked. I haven't watched the videos. Pretty nasty of me. But these look like slightly better than those street sketches you see.
Yep.
But really much like that, frankly. The internet sometimes is too easily impressed.
Yes.
I don't mean to be a bummer, Mark. I don't mean to be a bummer, but we're...
One.
There you go. Next.
Right. And the only one I came across just before we recorded, apparently cloud computing's bad for you because there's no protection for your data when it rains, according to an Indian government official.
What if my cloud computer provider has umbrellas?
This sounds like one of those apocryphal things where, you know, when you track it back, no such thing was said by any such person. And it's actually a racist thing. And it was just Pakistan's ongoing attack on Indians saying that they're stupid because they've just got this ridiculous competitiveness going on between them. And I'd far rather that they claim that, you know, Indian governmental spokespeople are stupid than that they start lobbing their nukes back and forth over the border because, you know, one is far superior to the other. Sorry.
True.
Go on, Mark.
However, they do have video of the guy explaining how the water is bad.
But are we sure that's bad. True? Is he doing it in English or is he doing it in Hindu?
I haven't actually watched the video yet. But I think we're out of time, are we?
No. Well, you are. We're just about out of time. Let's do this slightly out of order because I have realized that I haven't got an Urban Dictionary word of the week. Once again, just because. All right, I've got a word. Everyone's going to get it.
Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Dylan.
Okay.
Your word, we're going to be quite quick with this. I'm going to give you a hint though. 6,600 upvotes and about 600 downvotes. So quite a popular one. Your word is fart and dart.
Fart and dart.
Fart and dart.
Well, clearly that's when you fart and a small arrow type thing shoots out of your ass and into a board on the wall.
Yep, exactly.
It's a game.
Sorry, I meant Mark, yes?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, Mark.
I've just got Dylan's image stuck in my mind and I'm just...
Okay, I'll take Mark's guess for him too.
Yeah.
It's when you fart and then disappear before anyone notices the smell, leaving only the smell and possibly innocent bystanders.
I got stuck in the elevator with that this afternoon. I couldn't escape.
There you go.
Dylan?
You're all wrong.
Wow.
We've got a winner.
Mark, thanks to Dylan. You got it, brother.
Woohoo! Yay!
Verb to fart and leave others to enjoy the fumes. Usage. I look to fart and dart in the grocery store. It's awesome to see the expressions when people walk through the cloud with their mouths wide open. Added by...
I did it to the Prime Minister.
You really did?
I really did. When I was working at TVNZ, I arrived one morning.
Yeah.
Got in the lift, went up the lift to level one where the studios are, got out.
Yeah.
I farted in the lift. There was no one around. It was quite early. I couldn't help it. Got out. There were two burly chaps in suits there, and about 2 seconds later, the Prime Minister walks around the corner.
What do you mean you couldn't help it?
Are you toilet trained? Anyway,
you should never fart
Prime
in
Minister,
an elevator.
Prime Minister walks around the corner. He and his DPS minders hop in the lift and go away, and I just walked off. Sorry, John.
You did the right thing. I love it. So John Key's body contains particles that were in your colon.
Yes, yes, they went up his nose.
He inhaled your poo particles, your microscopic poo particles.
That's torture.
I love your story. We've got to talk about it in the overflow because we've now got just about 5 minutes. And we've got to do, what's your auntie been talking about? What's your auntie sent you on tape? What's your auntie been talking about? Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
First, new show. It's a show called Enlightened. I watched I don't know if it was the pilot, but it was sent to me. She labeled the tape with one of those stickers and a Vivid season one, episode one. Enlightened. That spelling, E-N, lightened, that ends with a D. This is the worst TV show I've seen in a long time. It made me angry that a piece of shit like this with a lead character who I couldn't stand to see for a moment longer was made. I don't understand how it was funded. I don't know what my auntie was sending me. I think it was a prank.
What was that one that Rhys Darby was in? It was called something like that.
I know what you're talking about, but we can't remember. So let's rush on. Now, to take the bitter taste of that out of your mouth, someone's going to say something about American Horror Story, who we already introduced it last week. So go on.
I haven't seen it.
No, actually, the new one for me this week was on...
Why is American Horror Story in the list?
You put it there?
I didn't put it there.
I did. I forgot we mentioned it last week.
Right, okay.
Because I'm not
We don't have time to do lots of these.
We're
going to have to wait for next week. Sorry, okay. Dude. The next show is a new one that my auntie sent me on the same tape, also labeled season one, episode one. And this one is called Boss. And
so good.
Unlike Enlightened, this is amazing.
So, so good.
I wish I could. Now, it's Kelsey Grammer. He's the lead role. He's the mayor of Chicago. He's got a secret. He is, I don't know if he's corrupt, but he's aggressive. He's been the mayor for a long time. It's lots of political stuff and speeches, but it's fucking brilliant. It reminds me a little bit of West Wing.
Oh, great.
One episode so far on this tape that I've been sent. God, it's so good. Hey, Dylan.
Yeah?
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or UK?
That would be really handy.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you just generally want your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government's recently passed some kind of stupid law or whatever?
Yes.
Tell them to mind their own business while you mind your own and go to discourseconz.com/VPN and sign up. discourseconz.com/VPN.
Sounds expensive.
It's surprisingly inexpensive. discourseconz.com/VPN.
Wow.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Corrections.
We're always right.
Corrections. Last week, actually, Mark, it's good that you're on again, coincidentally. We were talking about shiny pants when we spoke about last week's Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, and we were talking about cock of the block, and you said, like MC Hammer pants, and I said, no, dick, because they're not shiny, they're sequiny. And then after that, I went and Google imaged some MC Hammer pants, and I was completely wrong, and you were absolutely right. Heaps of MC Hammer. Look, most of my corrections are self-corrections.
Most of everyone's corrections are Morgan corrections.
It's pretty much me that makes all the mistakes. My apologies, Mark. You were completely right. A lot of MC Hammer pants were very, very shiny. Very shiny. And not because they were sequiny, but because of whatever they were made of. You know, PVC.
Shiny stuff.
Shiny leather. All sorts of shiny stuff. There were several different kinds of MC Hammer pants that were shiny. Not even just one kind. A bunch. So I couldn't have been more wrong, and I apologize unreservedly.
Apology accepted, Morgan.
Excellent. So,
corrections.
We have like 1 minute to go. So, now, well, friends.
That show you talked about, Boss.
Yes.
I just looked it up on IMDb.
Yep.
Do you know what date the first episode is?
Is it 1 minute. Future?
Yes, it's in the future.
I wonder how my auntie got hold of that.
And do you want to know something else about it?
What's that?
It got renewed for a second season before that first episode has shown.
That's because it is so good.
It's because it's got Kelsey Grammer and everything with him works well.
You know what else is good? And I would like our friends who are listening to help us with proving to the world that it's good. The Discourse Weekly Show. Yeah. The Discourse Weekly Show. It's what you're listening to right now, so it must be good. Or you wouldn't have got this far. You've just gotten the full, just about an hour through. So you must love it. So given that you like it so much, how about you go into iTunes and you rate the show 5 stars? Maybe 4, preferably 5. And perhaps you even review it because, you know, that would be really nice of you. Well, I'd appreciate it. Rate and review that. The show on iTunes.
5.
Seems easy. Doesn't cost you anything. Makes 4. Life better for us. You could even Twitter about us, Twitter to us.
3.
Join us for a live show next week, maybe.
2.
Or join us in just a few minutes for the Discourse Extra Large 1. Overflow Show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the weekly show on
Say thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Oh, of course.
Goodbye.
All right, we're using that one.
Tune in right now for the Extra Large Extended Edition. Available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to the weekly show.